says, reward of the wise and of the foolish. I feel like I have a very heavy burden tonight, and I pray that you would pray for me. I'm appreciative tonight that we have the opportunity once again to be here. This is a valuable opportunity that we have to make sure that we're ready to go home. I want to go home, and I want to get there successfully. And the burden that I have tonight, in part, is that there are a lot of people tonight that will never make it home. The Scripture tells us that it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. And it goes on and says they are new every morning. But you know, I am aware tonight that there will come a day where we experience our last morning in the life as we know it today. Today is the day of mercy, but we're quickly coming to a point that is going to be the day of judgment. And it can be the most wonderful day of our lives. That's the blessing of tonight. That everyone that is here tonight can look forward to that day when the Lord calls our name. And we're ready to go. We're ready to meet Him. We have a testimony of even so come, Lord Jesus. But there are going to be many that are going to stand speechless before our God. And they're not going to be ready to go. I don't want to be in the place as the rich man who lifted up his eyes towards heaven and begged for a little bit of water that he could quench, cool his tongue. And every one of us that are here tonight, the enemy is battling our souls. He is battling those that are even professors of Christianity. And that is my burden tonight. My burden tonight is for those that come to church. My burden is for those that have a profession of salvation. My burden is for those that live their lives mostly for the Lord. But that if they don't change their life, they're not going to make it. And I'd like to start in the 13th chapter of Matthew. Before we read our main text, I'd like to read this, and I'd like you to consider it. It says, "In another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root out also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." And my thought around this tonight is that we are living in a time where the judgment of God is being delayed in many cases. And the Lord is not in the business tonight to come in the LaRonger Chapel, or to come in the Shreveport, or the Gina, or the Prattsville, or wherever you go. He's not in the business of coming in and saying, "Excuse me, you on the third bench, fourth in, please come with me. And you over there, And you over there, you don't belong here. You aren't where you ought to be. I know that you dwell with them, and I know you go to church, and I know that in many ways you fit in, and you might look like them and dress like them, but please come with me because you don't belong. You're not one of mine. And I'm gonna pull you all out. The Lord isn't in the business of doing that tonight. He is in the business of talking to our hearts and being faithful to us. But the burden that I have is there is an inherent risk that is associated with the Lord not being in the business right now of coming in and separating things out on a real-time basis. And that risk is that we can become complacent in our souls. We can look at the folks that walk through the back doors and have a profession just like I do. And we begin to look and we might begin to see a little bit of differences. And pretty soon, if we're not careful, we can live kind of how we want in some ways. And we can find security that we're all dwelling together. We're all professing the name of Christ. We're all worshiping together in the same place. And yet be missing the very thing that God is looking for in our souls to be able to meet Him in peace. And it concerns me. And it's a challenge to me personally because eternity is a long time. It doesn't ever end. This is our opportunity, saints. God has given us the opportunity to come here tonight to do business with Him. He has given us an opportunity to listen to His Word and allow His Spirit to touch the very heart that we have within us that causes us to live as we do and make decisions like we do. It's a time of mercy. And He would like, if there are tares among us tonight, He would like to transform you into wheat. That's the good news tonight. We mentioned the other night the gospel is good news. And the good news is He would that all of us would be wheat, would be transformed into wheat. If the Lord was to come back tonight and tomorrow night we had opportunity for all of those that were in La Ronja the night before to gather together, I would want to see every face that is here tonight. How sad. If we notice, well, where's so-and-so? Where was so-and-so? I thought they were one of us. Where are they? I don't want that to be me. And I don't want it to be you. I'd like to turn to the 25th chapter of Matthew. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut, never to be opened again. Afterward also came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Does this sober you? I hope it does. It does me. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. In the 13th chapter, He was talking about the kingdom of heaven. He said, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto. This says, this is Jesus talking. This is the Lord trying to get across to us what it is going to be like. What's going to happen? What it's all about. And He again said, the kingdom of heaven. That's why I want to go. The kingdom of heaven. This is what it's like. It's likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps. And the thing that strikes me about this, He didn't say this is likened unto 10 people that is a representative sample of the world and of the churches and of professors. That's not what He said, saints. He said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. Virgins, what was He talking about? He was talking about people that were pure in many respects, were undefiled in many respects, had not been contaminated perhaps by all of the sin and the foolishness of the world. They dwelt apparently with the five wives. They were together. They were virgins. The Scriptures talk a lot about the people that aren't in the Ark of the Safety, that don't dwell with the people of God, that are out and live in the world and partake of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But that's not who He was talking about here. He was talking about 10 virgins. And 5 of them, He said, were foolish. And 5 of them were wise. And He said they took their lamps. What does lamps mean? What did they take? All of them had a profession. They all had a profession of salvation. And I believe that they all had truth. I believe they all had a measure of truth. Certainly enough truth to get into heaven. They all took their lamps. They all had them. There were 10 virgins. They were largely unspotted by the world. They didn't dwell out in... Brother Ed talked the other night about sitting with those that did wrong things and fellowshipping with them. I don't believe that defines who Jesus was talking about. And they all had, they were willing to say, I'm a Christian. I'll go. I'll go fight the battle. I'm willing to be named by the name of Christ. They took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. What does that mean? They lived their lives and they marched closer and closer and closer to meet the bridegroom. That's where their train was headed, whether they wanted it to or not. And it represents all of us that are here this evening. We are going forth to meet the bridegroom. You may not want to. May not be on your list of things to do tonight. You might wish that you could push the pause button. Just like you do on a tape recorder. You can hit record and begin to record everything that's happening. And you know, sometimes, wouldn't it be kind of nice to just hit pause and go do what we want to do. And when we get done with that, go back and hit the record button and say, all right, proceed. It doesn't work that way. The book of our lives is being written real time, all the time. There is no pause button. And we are all going forth to meet the bridegroom. And every single person tonight will make that appointment. Some people miss their appointments. Some people get distracted. They forget. No one will forget this appointment. You know why? Because you aren't the ones that have to make it happen. That's in the Lord's hands. And He'll see to it that it happens for every one of us. And they all went forth to meet the bridegroom. And the second verse said, and 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. What did He mean by that? What did he mean by five of them were wise and five were foolish? And if you'll allow me just for a minute or two, I want to speak even more broadly than just wise and foolish within the perspective of the virgins. Wise to the Lord, make no mistake about it, will many times be viewed as foolish to the world. Be willing to be viewed as foolish to the world. It's foolish to the world to not take a promotion across country because you want to stay where the people of God are worshiping. And there's no congregation, there's no, and you can make it, but the world says there's churches everywhere. What's wrong with you? This is the only life you have to live. Why are you doing that? It's foolish to the world for us to live in a plain manner. It's foolish for us to dress and conduct ourselves in a mild and a meek, a manner that's not assertive, that doesn't put ourselves on display. It's foolish. It's unnecessary in the world's eyes. It's foolish in the world's eyes for us to think about the needs of others rather than our own. After all, no one's going to look after you. If you want something, go get it. You're the one that has to do this. It's foolish. Wise? Who's he talking about there? He's talking about those that are wise in the Lord's eyes. Now I want to bring it closer. Within the confines of the virgins, what does foolish mean and what does wise mean? Did you know that it is foolish for us to think that we can earn heaven by the works that we do? I can come to service and I can sit with you and I can follow the doctrines that are preached, and I can go where you go, and I can stay away from where you stay away from, and I can talk like you, but if I'm not very careful, I can live a life that is void of the very Spirit of God that is necessary for me to make it to heaven. I don't want to live there. God came. When Jesus came and He died on the cross, and He said, it is finished. Do you remember what happened in the temple? It said the veil in the temple was rent, and the Lord's Spirit came out of the holiest of holies, and it went out into the world looking for people that were willing to turn their hearts and their lives over to Him and to say, Lord, please come fill me with who You are. Help me to feel and to experience the very essence of who You are. Let my life, Lord, let it be Yours. Let me take on Your cause. That's who the Lord wants. That's who He's coming back for. I want to live in that manner. We're not under the old law anymore. I can't be saved by the law. I can't be saved by the works. But do you know what happens when we receive the Spirit? The works come as a manifestation of the Spirit that's working within us. And I will live and I'll walk and I'll conduct myself and I'll follow after the doctrines and I'll seek to know, Lord, what would You have me to do? How do You want me to live? Because, Lord, that's how I want to live. Have you ever had someone come to your house and they say, make yourself at home. Just make yourself at home. Did you know that most of the time they mean that to a point? Because if you begin to truly make yourself at home and you say, you know what, I don't think that picture belongs there. I like it better over here. They said to make myself at home. Somehow I don't think Allison would appreciate it if I made myself that much at home. But we say that, and we want them to be comfortable, but you know what we're really saying? be comfortable with how I have my home set up. I want you to be pleased and comfortable, but I want you to be pleased and comfortable with how I have it. And we as Christians, as virgins, we may not say, Lord, come on in, but I want to do it on my terms. But I want to bring it closer to that tonight by the help of the Lord. Sometimes we want the Lord to come in and we say, Lord, what would you have me to change in my house? And the Lord says, well, you know, this thing over here, I could do so much more with you if you would just move this over here. And we go, oh, well, Lord, that's pretty important to me. Is there anything else you would have me to do? And, well, Lord, what if I move it over here? And then pretty soon we're doing the best we can to rearrange my house so that it's like what I think the Lord's house would be. And we can spend our time, our years, our lives trying to live, and we work and we fight and we struggle because we're trying to get our house like the Lord wants it. When the Lord's coming and He's saying, I want you to give me your house. You let me have your house so that it's my house and you can live here. But He doesn't come and say, I'm taking your house over. He wants us to say, Lord, would you come in and take over my life? Would you come in and would you take up your abode with me? Would you fill me with your Spirit? That's what it means to be sanctified. It's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means that we say, Lord, I give it up to you. Lord, I'm through trying to do it on my own. I'm through trying to find salvation through my own works. I'm through trying to follow everything that I've been taught, and I feel pressure over here, and the saints teach this, and I keep trying to rearrange this, and I keep bumping up against this, and I don't understand this, but I try and I try, and for the most part, I can kind of fit in. That's the foolish that He's talking about. It won't get you to heaven. The Lord's saying, let me have your house. Let me come in. Let me take up my abode in your house. And I'll arrange it just like you really want it to be arranged and you never realized it. And yet so often, what do? We go through life, and it seems like we go through life and we listen to the world who tells us that we ought to sort of, kind of, halfway be able to sort of let the Lord know how it ought to be okay for us to live our lives. And the world tells us, attend the church of your choice. Go find where you want to worship. You'll eventually find a place that fits how you want to order your life and your house. You'll eventually find it. The Scripture said in Isaiah, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, they have removed their heart far from me. People have their hearts so fixated on all of the things and the checklist and trying to still live it under the law. And it doesn't work. And many people today are living by the precept of men. They're trying to do it on their own. They're trying to figure it out on their own. And it doesn't work. No matter how much you believe in something, if it's founded on something that is false or incomplete, failure will result. Every time. I remember one time reading in the paper, a man in Corvallis, this is when we lived in Albany, it had a blurb in there, and he had decided in his mind that he could fly. And he had an altered state of mind. And he was in a building that was up off the ground, and he was convinced that he could fly. He was convinced of it. He believed it. And so he stepped off the balcony. And you know what happened? He found out he couldn't fly. But he was convinced that he could. He had an altered state of mind, see? And we look at that and we think, why would he think that? Why would he do such a foolish thing? Why would you jump off a balcony when your life is at stake? It's because he had an altered state of mind. And you know what? Most professed Christians have an altered state of mind. They're not operating with the Spirit of the Lord in their lives. They're operating on their own. They've allowed themselves to get to the place where their lives aren't ordered by the Spirit, and they haven't fully given themselves over. They've said no too many times to the Spirit, and they've tried to go their own way and do their own thing. And it doesn't work. And it doesn't ever work. Paul said, let no man deceive himself. Don't be deceived. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. What is he talking about? Now he's talking about be a fool. He's talking about be willing to be a fool in the world's eyes. It said, because the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. He doesn't look at it like we look at it. May God help us. He went on and he said, they that were foolish took their lamps, but they didn't take any oil with them. They took their profession. They took their works. They took what they were trying to do. They took what they were trying to please whoever. Trying to please mom and dad, or trying to please the church, or trying to get some works that they could somehow fit in and fill a sense of security. And it works all the way up until the point to where your lamp has to actually have a light on its own. If I go camping with a group of people and I put my lantern in the back of the vehicle and I go out and darkness comes and everybody takes their lanterns out and puts oil in it and fires it up, and I stay with them, I can have a false sense of security that everything's okay with me. But if all of a sudden I'm standing on my own and darkness falls and they all go away, and I go get my lantern and I get my profession and I get the truth and I need it to carry the day and penetrate the darkness, I'll find myself still in darkness because I'm not filled with the Spirit and with the oil. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Do you hear that? The time is going to come when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It takes more than for us to spend our lives trying through willpower and through sheer determination to just follow what's true and fit it into the house that we ourselves have ordered. It's why people struggle in their lives. It's why people try to live saved and then they fail and then they try to get saved and then they're not happy and they don't find the fulfillment. And they come and they hear people that are filled with the Spirit of God talk about the satisfaction in their life and they don't understand it and they just feel like, well, I guess it's not for me. It's because you're not willing to turn your house over to the Lord. You have been bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit and your soul and in your house and everything that you have. Let Him come in and live within you. That's the problem. And that's the answer. God wants to come in. He paid the price. You don't have to go out and purchase your way into heaven. He did that. And all He's saying is, listen, if you'll let me come into your house, if you'll turn the papers over to me, I'll order it just like you want and it'll meet the very need of your heart. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Scripture said that the law came by Moses. But it said grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Folks, let's not be the five foolish virgins who continue to try to live under the law. The people that lived under the law, their temple was never suitable for the Spirit of the Lord to come and dwell in. Until the Lord came and He paid the price, and His Spirit came out of the temple, and the Lord made a way for Him to come back in to hearts that have been given over to Him and said, Lord, please come fill my vessel. I want You to order my life. I want You to direct my steps. I'm willing for whatever to take place in my life. I turn it over to You. That's where victory is. If we live that way, the reward of the wise, when the Lord comes back, it'll be the most wonderful day of our lives. And He paid the price for all of us. So the story goes on, and it said the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Listen, I don't know exactly what all He meant, but I want to say what it comes to my mind. The lanterns that we have, you can put some kerosene in the lantern. And you can also take with you a bucket of kerosene. And so that you have plenty of oil on hand. Why is it that we try to get by with the very minimum so often? People live their lives and they try to figure out just exactly what I can do and not do so that I just get in, but I get to have my house arranged the closest to what I wanted in the first place. Why do we take that risk? Why do we do that? If I'm going somewhere in my car and it's an important destination that I need to go to, do I sit down before I go and say, well, let's see, I'm going to go to Gina today and it's 79 miles and I get this many miles to the gallon, so I need this many gallons in my car, and I know there's no gas stations between here and Gina. There are, but if that was the case, is that what I would do? No. Why would I do that? Fill it up. Fill it up. And yet, what do we try to do? We try to live by works and it doesn't ever happen because as long as we try to focus so hard on that, what we end up doing is our flesh comes out because we've never died out to it completely. We're still in the seed state, trying to be a flower. And the Lord's saying, if you'll just die out and give it all up, be willing, I'll turn you into something beautiful. And yet we try to just get it as close as we can. I can go where I think I can get by with and look at just what I think I can sort of get by with and listen to what I think I can justify to the Lord and order my life in a way that I think will pretty much fit what I think the Bible says. There's a deeper issue than that. Now I want to take it closer now. If we're living our lives like that, we've missed what God brought to bring us. Because when you allow the Holy Spirit to come in your life, gone are the days, and I'm not trying to turn into something that's not. There are still temptation. But gone are the days where we spend our lives trying to figure out just what we can do and not do and get by. Because now the Spirit is the one that's living in our lives. Now the Spirit is directing, and He gives us a new heart. And He gives us a new song. And He gives us new desire. That's why people can sing the song and say, I go just where I want to. I do just what I please. People in the world say, well, that's foolish. I don't believe you. You can't live like that and tell me that's what you want to do. I can. Brother Ed said the other night, people say, well, it's just a bunch of rules. Well, listen, if it's a rule, like he said, and it's what I want to do because I don't like the consequences, and I have a desire in my heart to live this way because that's what I want to do, if you want to call it a rule, call it a rule. But I want to tell you what it is. It's a spirit that's living in me that prompts me to live this way, and it's how I want to live. And it's where the victory is. Because now the Spirit is directing your heart. Now the Spirit is directing your life. And when the enemy comes in and he says, hey, what about this over there? And you look at it and your flesh begins to be drawn to it. The Spirit is in there and saying, you don't want that. Because look at this. Look at what the end of it is. And you say, I don't want that. Look at what the end of it is. This over here is better. That's where peace is. The Lord has an experience to deliver us from a salvation experience that is not bringing peace. And in the end, if we don't let the Spirit of God come in, we risk being lost. He's coming back for people that is worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. That's how I want to worship Him. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of our oil. Well, they said, we don't have enough. You're going to need to do that on your own. Go buy for yourselves. A cry was made, and it's a cry that cannot be ignored. You can ignore my cry tonight if you want. You have those decision rights. But there will be a cry that comes at a time that is not of your choosing that you won't be able to ignore. And you'll never have opportunity again to go purchase oil. Because when the Lord comes back and He says, this is your day, the door is shut, there's no other opportunity. The time of mercy is past, and it'll be time to meet the Lord. I want to meet the Lord in peace. In the 21st chapter of Revelation, and we'll end there. It said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. That's the group that I want to be associated with. That's who I want to be. I want to be part of the group that the Lord comes back. I want to be the one that has been satisfied by His Spirit. I want to have partaken of the water of life that He has to offer. That's what I want. But the sad thing is that many don't ever get to that place. They go through life their own way. The sad thing is that there are people that are going to miss heaven who for maybe years of their life have endeavored to follow the doctrines that they've been taught in general. And they've worked to do this and they've tried to make their house suitable for the Lord. Never getting to the place where they said, Lord, this is Your house. Jesus said in Matthew 25 and 13 that we read, watch ye therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Brother Ed quoted the other night in the 22nd chapter, he said, behold, I come quickly. No matter how many years you live, and live to be 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. When the Lord comes back and calls your name, and you look back over your shoulder And you look ahead, I cannot help but think that it is going to seem like the Lord came quickly. Because of the finality of it. Because now eternity is ahead of me. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Are you going to wait for the judgment of God to finally get to the place where you realize and acknowledge, oh my goodness, he meant what he said? Don't do that. Don't fight. Don't fight against the Spirit of the Lord. Don't live. Don't keep trying to see how much of your own house you can keep in your own way and in your own manner. Give it up. That's where the blessings are. That's where the changed heart is. And it's so sad to me to know that not only is there going to be a world that is lost, but there are going to be many people that profess salvation and live good lives, people that you'd like to be your neighbor, that are going to miss it because they never were quite willing to get there. Where are you planning to spend eternity tonight? What are you willing to give in exchange? If you're here tonight and you have a full supply of oil, I have good news for you. When the Lord comes back and calls your name, that is going to be a grand day and the most wonderful day that will usher you in to your eternal home. And if you're here tonight and you don't, you're not sure that you have given yourself over to the Lord quite in the manner that has been described, I have good news for you too. The Lord's in the business of filling you up with oil. He paid the price for it. And He's just saying, come. If you're here tonight and you think, yeah, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. That's one the enemy likes to use. Get you to pray about it. I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. If you're here and you're willing to delay and or defer action, when the Lord has spoken to your heart, I don't have any encouraging words for you. All I can say is may God have mercy on your souls. Because He said today is the day of salvation. I want to live my life every day so that I can say, given how I've lived my life, and Father, given all that You have taught me, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.